Once upon a time, abusive mortgage-backed securities caused the greatest financial mess since the Great Depression. Now one of the biggest names on Wall Street settles the case. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Goldman Sachs has agreed to pay $5 billion for its role in the financial crisis. It's a civil settlement with federal prosecutors and will cut into Goldman's fourth quarter profits by about $1.5 billion. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore is following the story. Sabri, this is about activities during the great housing boom that would go bust in 07 and 08.
Yeah, just like we saw with other banks over the past several years, the settlement is for Goldman's involvement in selling and marketing these no-good securities that were made up of home loans for people who could not afford them. But by comparison with some of the other settlements we've heard about from other banks, this one's actually a lot smaller. So yes, Goldman will have to pay $5 billion, but J.P. Morgan Chase had to pay $13 billion. Bank of America had to pay almost $17 billion. And the reason we're hearing is that Goldman didn't create as many bad mortgages and mortgage-backed securities as some of the other banks.
$5 billion is still a lot of money. Does this fine go somewhere in particular?
Well, most of it is just is penalties that seep into the government's very opaque system of collecting fines. Actually, if you ask Treasury where this money goes to, sometimes they can't or won't tell you. But almost $2 billion of Goldman's payment will go to relief for consumers, things like principal forgiveness for underwater homeowners, financing for affordable housing construction and preservation. It's also meant to be used for debt restructuring, foreclosure prevention.
Marketplace's Sabri Benishore, thank you.
Sure.
Now, yesterday, The Big Short was nominated for the Best Picture Oscar. It's about the guys who figured out in advance that the housing market and therefore mortgage-backed securities would collapse. Is the Goldman Sachs brand visible in the film? Oh, yes. Christian Bale's character even asks for a Goldman Sachs-branded mug. Let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 1.5%. The Shanghai stock market is now in bear market territory, down 20% from a recent peak. It was down again today. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are sharply down this morning in the 1 2/3% range. Like the Dow, we're down about 262 points. How about talking about Sesame Street instead? Sesame Street opens up its new home on HBO tomorrow. This means that families who can't or don't pay for the premium cable network will have to wait 9 months for new episodes over at PBS. Does Big Bird going over to paid TV mean other kids' shows will follow? Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
Children's television has been moving away from free broadcast channels for a while now. Robert Thompson is a professor at Syracuse University.
We've already seen other educational programs being made by the variety of new venues that the new technologies have made possible.
Netflix and Amazon are both creating original kids programming. There are video-on-demand services for preschoolers, but PBS still broadcasts plenty of free shows, like Curious George and Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. And that's not changing. Leslie Rotenberg is general manager of children's programming at PBS.
Our mission is to meet a critical need for all children, but especially those children from low-income families who are more likely to rely on live television.
The new Sesame Street will be on PBS in the future, and kids probably aren't fretting about the latest developments.
Spoiler alert, don't tell me what comes after D.
I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
When it comes to buying food, consumers are learning to ask themselves, where does this come from? Is it local, organic? When buying clothing, made by whom and under what conditions? But what about the wood we buy? Adam Gardner is a member of the band Guster. He's also the director and co-founder of Reverb, an organization that helps make concert tours more sustainable. He plays a guitar made of wood, but wood from where? He recently got back from a trip to Guatemala where he learned about the logging practices there. Adam, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, David.
Now, before I ask about this Guatemala trip you just came off of, tell me about, what should we call it, your epiphany? You learned something about the guitars you were playing?
We've been doing a lot of work with musicians and greening their tours and engaging their fans to take action for the environment. And then, you know, the very thing that we were expressing all our music through, our instruments, is tied into this large issue of illegal logging, and that some of these woods that were being used in our instruments could be ripped out of a World Heritage site or rainforest by child and slave labor. And it was just so alarming and shocking. Mm. I think it really hit the music scene when Gibson got raided and they got in a bunch of legal trouble for importing some ebony from Madagascar.
And you're continuing to explore this issue. What were you doing in Guatemala?
We actually went to the rainforest in Guatemala and the Mayan Biosphere Reserve to see with our own eyes the logging practices there. And in this case, this is a very positive story in this larger context of illegal logging, where community concessions by the government were given to this protected reserve for them to sustainably harvest their forests. And it turns out these communities are protecting the forest from illegal loggers and wildfires better than the government is in their own national parks.
And so poaching is kept to a minimum. The local people have a stake in this. They can actually financially benefit from the trade.
Yeah. So they've become the sustainable stewards of the forest. In that area, big leaf mahogany is a big desired wood, especially for guitar makers, as is Spanish cedar. And so, yeah, we actually got to see guitar backs and sides being milled right there in the rainforest for guitar companies like Taylor and Martin and Bedell. We're hoping to spread that model to the other areas. I mean, this is illegal logging is, you know, a large scale problem that goes across 30 countries.
Permit me this one last question, Adam. I was at Home Depot the other day and heard Guster over the PA. Good thing or bad thing?
Guster's a good thing. The Home Depot part, you know, it's interesting. They have FSC certified wood in there. You just ask for it. I think the big message and takeaway for me is it's consumer demand. We, as consumers, we can all play a role in this by asking for FSC, which is Forest Stewardship Council certified wood.
Adam Gardner is director and co-founder of Reverb. You also may know his work as guitarist and vocalist with Guster. Adam, thank you.
Thanks so much, David. Appreciate you taking the time.
Adam is finishing up a film about sustainable and unsustainable logging in Central America. Keep an eye out for that. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Online digital producer is Tobin Lowe. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.